What did you like about living there?
Oh, I loved it there because from our back porch, we looked out onto the golf course area. And of course, it was all treed. I mean, you wouldn't know there was a golf course there. You just looked out to lots of trees. And it also was a thriving neighborhood, lots of new families that were building their homes and had their kids starting school. And Forest Grove didn't open. We moved in 1983 with a brand new baby, and we had a three-year-old. But the school did not open until 1986. It opened in Expo year. So our first son actually had to go to Montecito for kindergarten because Forest Grove wasn't ready. And so when we went into Forest Grove a year later, we were going into a brand new, like, outstanding school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did Forest Hills have much in the way of links then with the Forest Grove community?
When school started, we did, because there was a lot of young moms and we got together and, you know, it was, you know, when you have kids in school, that's part of your socialization is the other moms that also have kids in the school. So, yeah, so we did.
Now, I know with Forest Grove, it has quite an affinity with the conservation area out there.
Yes,
there's a lot of forest that was left and natural and the ravines. Was that the case with Forest Hills as well?
Yes, there was. And actually that was also during the time that the urban trail, the Burnaby Urban Trail, was being developed. And I was actually thinking about this yesterday because I took a drive over there to kind of get my my mind in gear for this interview. The urban trail, well, once they developed the road, they built Arden. So we had access through from Broadway through to the north. And then Greystone Mall was also built during that time, that little mall. And there was a little grocery store and a dentist and a few other, a movie rental place and a pizza place. There was some things that were developed, so then we had access over to that area. But the urban trail was being developed as a biking trail, and it was connecting that area down to the south over to Underhill and then down into Lake City. And the first plan had the trail, the walking trail and biking trail, going along Arden right behind our houses. Okay. So I helped lead a group of people from that neighborhood to advocate to have the trail put on the golf course signed. And so we went through the process with City Hall and with the planning department, and we actually got that changed.
You were concerned about it, the trail being so close to your
properties. Yes, right behind our, running behind our back fences. Mm-hmm. And so that section of the urban trail that runs behind the golf course from Shelmont down to Woodhurst was actually supposed to be on the house, the housing side of Arden, whereas it ended up being on the golf course side.
Okay.
And then it crosses over, there's a crosswalk because of the logistics and the way the land goes. They had to cross it over, and then it runs along behind the houses along Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we were very proud that we were able to advocate for that.
Yes.
That change in the urban trail. Yeah.
And does the urban trail go up into the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area as well?
Yeah, it goes. The city has very good maps on the final urban trail, how it operates, but it goes right down through Lake City, and it also connects to Central Valley. I've never done the whole thing, but it's a very good way to link our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did you use the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area as a recreation area when you lived in Forest Hills?
With my kids, we were out all the time, and we did use the golf course side because my kids, they were involved in junior golf at the golf course. Mm-hmm. And so there was always opportunities to walk and to be in the trees, which I think is really important for kids.
Did your children and the neighborhood children play in the natural areas in Forest Hills or in Forest Grove?
Not because there were bears, and we always had a lot of bear alerts. So people were very hesitant, like, to let their kids just go and play. We did end up getting a park right in our Forest Hills neighborhood. That mm-hmm. took a while, but we did get a park. And eventually they did put a Parks and Rec summer program in there, so you could send your kids up to the park and they could do face painting and all the things that they do with kids in those summer programs. So that did run for a while. I have no idea whether that still runs in that park, but we did have those opportunities. But there were lots of bear alerts in that neighborhood.
So children, well, and especially the parents, would be a bit concerned about their children just going off and playing.
Yeah, I don't think we ever really let them go off and play unless they were in the front yard or if they were, unless they were supervised by an adult, because it was just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because,
and they never walked to school. They never walked to school from there. We had to, we drove the kids because it's very isolated going from that neighborhood over to Forest Grove. It's very isolated, and it's still very isolated.
Because you would drive through the conservation area, the natural.
Yeah, part of it. Yeah. And up Shelmont and then over to Underhill and then over to Forest Grove Drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was not a good, not a good route for kids to travel, even in pairs. Yeah.
That's such a contrast to some of the people that I've interviewed who remember growing up before World War II. And they and their neighborhood pals would just head off to some woodland or vacant whatever wooded area and just play in there and build forts and do whatnot. So that's different attitude.
I think those days left us when when there were incidents or whatever. You know, you just don't send your kids off into the woods on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
Would they access the conservation area to walk on the trails or go biking on the trails?
Yeah, they did. Most of the kids had bikes. Yeah.
Okay.
And one thing that my own kids did, and they got into trouble for this, we would go across on the hot days of summer, and my kids would sell pop, ice-cold pop, behind the fence. Now I don't remember what the whole number of the golf course is, but it was the furthest one from the clubhouse, and it was the one right above Arden and Broadway, and there was like lots of trees. It was a very nice grove of trees, but the fence, the wire fence into the golf course was right there, and so they would sit with their cooler full of ice cold pop, and they would sell pop for $1. Well,
over the fence.
Over the fence, right?
Okay.
And I would sit off. I would never let them go on their own. I would sit off in the woods with my book and on a blanket, and they would sell pop for $1. Sometimes they'd get a toonie. And they did that for a number of weeks during the hot weather. And then all of a sudden they got... they were detected by one of the golf course marshals, and we were sent a letter saying that we were not conforming with, we were competing unfairly with golf course concessions.
Yes.
So we had to stop. But that's how they made money for their video games, was behind the fence there. And for kids that were like 8 and 11, you know, to come home with $75 on a Saturday afternoon, that was really something.
Yeah.
But they loved doing that, and it was easy money. And the golfers were like so happy that there was some ice-cold pop at the furthest point from the clubhouse.
Yes.
But
well, it must have dampened your children's entrepreneurial spirit a bit.
Well, I guess in some ways, but that was kind of a neat experience to have in the trees in a nice, calm, quiet area. And very, well, it was safe because I was there with them. But Yeah, but I always thought that that was a little bit unfair to, you know, to squash the kids for doing something that was totally harmless and was innovative and it was appreciated. So anyhow, there, that's yes. another little story. Yes.